God. I just want to share this with you. I'm not going to say who, and later on, if they want to tell you, they can. But I got a call today. I've been praying with some folks, and we've been praying about some things. And I got a call today that where the doctor said on the report, they had a test done, and the doctor took a biopsy and wrote down on the report a malignant, whatever you would call it. I mean, everybody knows that means, in his opinion, he thought it was cancer. So they sent it off, you know, and I said, don't matter what the doctor says. Don't worry about it. It's going to, you know, God's still the great physician. Don't worry about it. They got it back, and the test come back, and they said, well, no, it's fine. There wasn't no cancer. And he said, I don't understand that. He said, I've been doing this 20 years. And he said, I probably had two in my lifetime that I thought was cancer that came back and it wouldn't. That's God, see. That's God right there. That's why the devil is fighting so hard, is because what God is doing great things. And so, you know, you got to understand, folks, you're a word church. We're a word church. The word of God's getting out here. And because the word's getting out, the devil wants to try to shut it up. You know, and so we're just going to keep right on keeping on. We're going to keep pushing, doing the word, doing everything that God told us to do. We've been here doing it 26 years almost, and we're going to continue to do it. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 3. By the way, you know, I think we're online. I want to join all you that are watching online for whatever reason, and we're glad you're here. Praise God. Tonight you'll get the word. Amen. Praise God. Might even get saved, some of them. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Look at that. My goodness. The word of God will add long life, length of days. See that? Length of days, the word of God will add to you. It'd be a good idea for us all to make sure that we're in the Word, because we all need length of days and a long life. Amen. See that? Now, this is from the... Does your Bible say the same thing? Just let's make sure we're reading what the Word says. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Hallelujah. Man, you talk about a good set of scriptures right there. And you know what it's really saying to us? It's really telling us that God is our source. Honor the Lord. Trust the Lord. See, and he goes on, he says, when I'm trusting the Lord, when I'm honoring the Lord, I can expect long life and length of days. Notice that. I can expect, because I'm honoring the Lord and trusting in the Lord, I can expect health and healing. Anybody see that? You know what else I can expect? Did you notice that last part? I can expect increase because I'm trusting in the Lord and honoring the Lord with my substance. Hallelujah. See, you got to understand, church, that our only place that we can trust, the only one we can trust, is God. Men will always let you down. Amen. Family will let you down. Now, they may not mean to, but they do a lot of times. But God will never fail you. God will never let you down. Amen. So he's telling us there, he says that we are to trust in the Lord. See, God is our source for everything that we need. Now, jump over here with me to Psalm, and let's just kind of reiterate that thing. Psalm chapter 1. Look what it says. Blessed is the man. Everybody say, blessed is the man. Notice that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, when it says standeth in the way of sinners, what it's talking about, gangs up with them. Hangs around with them. takes their side.
See that? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of sin, scornful. But his delight is in the midday, day and night. Look at verse 3 now. He shall bring forth his fruit in season. His seed also shall be without head of a pack. Notice there that God is a source of cover from the sun, like the locust. That the earth, we're like a tree. If we don't, if we're sinners, we're not going to let it. It's a fertile tree. He gives us that. The tree draws its source. It draws from the water. And it brought, you see, behind, we draw our strength from the Holy Spirit. We get part of all the nonna. And so, then he won't be like that tree. And no seed will just pass.
The word, what's over the water, what anybody else says. Because the word's true, it's forever settled in heaven. And here he says, we're like that. Now, this is the man that's blessed. He's like the tree by the water. But look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So it'd pay us to be godly, wouldn't it? We ought to make sure that we're on God's side and serving God and living for God, because he says then you're like that tree that's planted by the water to draw from that the strength from the water. We're like that tree. We're planted in God and we're drawing from his anointing, drawing from the Holy Spirit. And God says I'm going to make you prosper. I'm going to make you do well. Now, our faith in God really is based upon trust in him. Right? I mean, if you don't have trust in him, you can't have faith in him. Right?
That means I trust God when it don't look like things are going my way. Come on, I trust the word of God, what it says. You know, and that's the thing about the word of God. See, God wants us to prove that word. He wants to prove that in life. Now, look at verse 1 here. Very familiar scripture. Now, I want to give you verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of the things we hope for. Being the proof of things, we do faith proceeding as real fact, what is not real to sin, ever born of faith. The men of old had divine testimony born into them, furrows during the success of ages, for frame, or fashion, or plain order, and the quick thing was not made out of things which are visible. What's he saying here? He says, the call of faith and our eyes, and still believe God for it.
Come on, he said, that's how this whole world was formed, was through faith.
And the word of God. It's already said. See, now, we look at things from all of the land. Amen. The word, the Bible says to obey all the land. You know, the Bible says to obey all the land, understand that they don't get, If it's, amen. So we have to be careful to make sure that we're, I'll give a perfect example. Abortion is legal in this country. They don't want to be a field shooter. A lot of folks are. And both people do babies. So he says, you and I, we need to live our word and faith in God's word. In other words, if God's word says
it's settled and it's done, if we'll believe for it, we can have it. Right?
What sort of things are, when you pray, believe this, receive, you have it. For me to stand here and tell you that God did, if you delight yourself in the Lord, your Bible says, so they have to get back to God. You've got to get back to him. God. But you see, people don't want to hear that word, but they won't hear other things because they will not have God. We're trusting in the Lord, believing in the Lord, and we'll pass. He watches over his word to hasten it. Right? I'm excited about the things God wants to do in my life. Amen. You know, that's the best. You can walk away from the things of God. I'm going to be up to you, or you reach out and use your faith to grab it. How big can you dream? God's able to do the exceeding. We need to place ourselves in a position where, you know what, God, everything you have for me, I want.
I place myself there, and I receive it by faith. Everything you want to do through me and in me, I'm here. I'm available. Thank you, Lord, for using me. Amen. Amen. Don't hide from God. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Let God be your source. Now, jump over here with me to Acts chapter 27. This is a familiar story for you, but I want us to just draw from this to see what's going on. Acts chapter 27, verse 9. It's a little bit of a read, but I want to bring it because there's such a good point in it. Hebrews 27, verse 9. This is where they're taking him to see Caesar. And the centurion's taken them by boat, and they've come so far. And verse 9 picks up the story and says, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already passed, Paul admonished them. Now that fast that is talking about being passed, it's actually talking about, I studied it out, and it's talking about the autumn equinox. In other words, falls over. Winter's dropped in. Bad weather time. Okay? So it says, when the fast is already passed, you can study that out for yourself if you want to. It says, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading in the ship, but of our lives also. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And see, right there's a good example for you and I. No matter what man's saying, if you're hearing from God, you better listen to God. Amen. I don't care. Oh, it'd be all right. If God says no, you better be no. God says yes, be yes. Come on. Paul told him, he said, the Spirit was telling him, when he says, I perceive, he was receiving from the Holy Spirit, but the centurion chose to believe the master of the ship. That was the natural thing, you see. It says, and because the haven was not, verse 12, because the haven was not commodious to enter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might obtain to Phoenicia and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Now, this is Luke writing here. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail and were so driven. In other words, they took rope. They tried to tie the ship together. They tried to tighten it up, and they were so afraid they were going to run aground, they threw up the sails to get them away from the closer shores. Now let's read on just a little bit. It says, and being exceedingly tossed with tempest, the next day they lightened up the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now, you've got Luke writing this, and he said, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. You got the man of God there, Luke, and the situation is so dire that he doesn't think they're going to make it. He thinks they're going to die. Think about that. See, sometimes you think, well, I shouldn't be thinking the way I think. You know, everybody thinks that way sometimes. What you got to do is and be really careful of the way you say things. Amen. And so there, he's saying all hope that we should be saved was lost. And now I exhort you, let me get taken away. But after long abstinence, verse 21, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whose I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, I'm going to just stop there because I want you to see that Paul believed God right in the middle of a hurricane. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter. You go on reading the rest of the chapter. Paul tells them all to eat a little bit. They all of a sudden, there's some land close by. Some of the folks try to let down one of their rescue ships or one of their little ships to go to shore in. And Paul says, if they leave, then none of you will be saved. And so they just cut the ships loose and made sure everybody couldn't get off the ship. The ship got wrecked. They ended up going to the shore on pieces and swimming and nobody died. But here's what I want to bring out of this whole thing is the fact that Paul was able to trust God right in the middle of the hurricane. And I promise you, Luke's already given up hope. Luke's traveling with Paul. So that tells you that the situation looked hopeless. It escaped. Looks like they're all going to die. But God had a plan. And God had a plan to deliver every one of them. Because Paul said, I believe God, and it'll be just like God said it'd be. See, that's what you and I got to learn how to do. We got to learn how to say, I believe God. I trust God. God's got this. Why? Because He has. We're not making up things. See, even in the middle of something, the Bible says that God is working all things together for good to them that love and serve Him. So we have to just stand on the Word of God and trust God and believe God. If Paul could do it in the middle of a hurricane, we ought to be able to do it in the middle of anything. Amen. I'll never forget, you know, Brother Tim Hall. He had to be gone today. But I'll never forget him telling me this and both of us crying because we knew it was God when we had the tornado come through. Remember when the tornado came through, the tornado crossed just right down here below the church. Come off the hill, went up the hill, and when it dropped over the other side, it dropped down in where he lived. Went through there. His whole family was home. And here come the tornado. And he said they went into the bathroom. And he said, I shut the door and put all my family over here, and I got against the door. And he said, I just sat there and called on the name of the Lord. And he said, we could hear it. The things was going everywhere. He said it hit. They lived in a mobile home. They said it hit the mobile home, and you know he could. He said he just kept standing. His children were crying. You can just imagine what that would have been like. He said, and all of a sudden it got quiet. And when they opened the door, there was nothing there but the bathroom. Now you can say what you want to say. I believe God. I believe God. I thank God. He'll tell you the same thing. That was God. You know, right in the middle. I mean, listen, church. We ought not have to wait till we get into that kind of situation, but it's good to know Him when you do. Right? We ought to be trusting God even for the little things, though. The small things that we trust God for. You see, because God cares about the little stuff. Sometimes the devil whispering, yeah, oh, don't bother God with that. Well, he don't want you to because he knows God will give it to you. He'll grant it to you. He'll help you with it. He'll be there for you in that thing. So the devil will try to discourage you. But you and I, we've got to learn to trust God in every avenue of our lives. And I'm telling you, sometimes when the enemy's coming in like a flood, it's kind of hard. And it's just because you're being bombarded. But you know in your heart, in your spirit, man, God's faithful. God will never let us down, and He's always there for us. Right? He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard. Hallelujah. You know what that means? Do you know what a raise up a standard means? Raise up a standard was the flag of the company. Like when the Israelites, when they traveled, the 12 tribes, they all had standards with their flag on it that flag stood for their tribe. So what the word's actually saying is when the enemy starts coming at you, God gets the flag and comes up over next to you and stands it up and says, he's part of my tribe. You can't come here. Come on, think about that one for a minute. He raises up the standard and says, it don't matter how much the enemy tries. God's on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us, right? Hallelujah. So Paul believed God. There's nothing too big for God to handle. Nothing. Nothing's too big for God. And realize that always. Now jump over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's just jump right over there real quickly. We'll read this. 1 Corinthians 15. And let's look at verse 50 here. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on an incorruption, and the mortal must put on an immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. See, God's going to always give us the victory, church. We just got to stay steadfast, unmovable. Don't move from where you're at. Don't change your status. Don't change your situation. You continue to stand. And having done all to stand, stand there for. Trust the Lord and believe God. If God would allow Shammah to whip a whole army of Philistines, what will He do for you? He'd just fighting over beans. You are His child. You're His anointed one. His Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Trust in the Lord and watch and see what God does for you. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We bless you and praise you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Father God, that we're going to do what your word says. We're going to trust in you. We're going to believe in you. We're going to allow you to work in our lives, Father. I thank you, Father God, Lord, that we are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I thank you, Father God, Lord, as we stand, we proclaim our victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, because you've already given it to us, and we know it, and we want to walk in it, and we thank you for it. Now, Father, I pray strength. I pray, Father God, energy. I pray, Father God, a stronger anointing upon this congregation, Lord, and we just give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor in that, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.